This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. American Transmission Company, or ATC, wants to build high-voltage power lines from La Crosse to Madison. The project is known as the Badger Cooley Line. The poles could be 150 feet tall, or 15 stories, and will have a 75-foot right-of-way on either side. ATC is in the early stage of the project and is currently hosting a series of open houses so residents can view maps of proposed corridors for the power lines and meet with ATC reps. I spoke with ATC local relations manager, Sarah Justice, yesterday at an open house in Cashton. She explains why the project is needed.
It is providing improved access to the transmission system for all of the southwestern Wisconsin region. And that's important because that not only can provide better access to lower cost power, but also better access to renewable sources of energy, which are more prevalent to our west, particularly wind power. It also has the advantage of improving reliability in southwestern Wisconsin.
Can you explain a little more where American Transmission Company is at in regards to the Cooley Badger Line?
Well, we announced this project last fall in 2010 and held a series of open houses last September and October to introduce the project, introduce ourselves, and identify a very broad study area. That was phase one of a routing and siting process. We are now in phase two. We've identified a number of potential corridors. Those corridors are largely focused on existing infrastructure, which is something that is supported in state policy to identify opportunities to keep infrastructure together to minimize their overall impact. So these many corridors that we are identifying and talking to people about are really a number of options at this point, and we are going to be using the information we get at the open houses and continued environmental and engineering analysis to determine how we are going to focus it further down to a smaller number of potential routes. We'll then be back for phase three next spring in 2012. And finally, in the fall of 2012, we expect to be down to a couple of route alternatives, which then would go into the State Public Service Commission in the form of an application or proposal for this project.
So with the Badger Cooley Line, the lines that will be put up will carry a larger capacity of energy, correct?
That is correct. What we are proposing is a 345 kV line, or 345,000 volts. And that is a large transmission line. It is a very efficient way to move power over long distances and to reinforce the transmission system overall.
I was wondering if you could explain how that will compare or how that will differ from, you know, another transmission line that's out there that people normally see.
In a number of the communities that are within the southwestern Wisconsin region, many of them are served through lower voltage lines like a 69,000 volt line or 69 kV. Those smaller voltage lines presently serving the community and sited within this area are supported by the larger transmission lines, either a 161 or a 345 kV line. So by putting the Badger Cooley line in place, we're really connecting a gap within the more efficient higher voltage transmission system, and the lower voltages tie into that. So a line of this size does not need to necessarily be sited in your community to be able to benefit your community, because that lower voltage system is improved by its existence elsewhere.
And through this project, the lines will be able to transport power, and it'll be a mixture of coal and renewable energy. Can you talk about that mixture?
Sure. The transmission system is really a large network. Think of it like a spider web that is really integrating down from the local community all the way back to the large transmission lines moving power over a long distance. Now, that power will come from any number of generation sources. Could be coal, could be nuclear, could be hydropower, could be wind power. It all goes on to the transmission system and then moves by its own path of least resistance. And it's going to be moving in both directions. So this is not a destination line from one point to deliver power only to the other point. Through that network of lower voltage lines, the high voltage lines, all of that power goes onto the grid and then is blended to serve these communities.
The Badger Cooley line, if it's approved, could meet up with the CapEx 2020 line, which, if approved, would land in La Crosse. Can you talk about the process going on right now to connect these major power sources throughout the Midwest, potentially the country, and why it's necessary.
Well, the CapEx 2020 project, which you mentioned, is farther along than the Badger Coulee project. There is an application for that project before the Public Service Commission right now, and they're evaluating that, as you mentioned, coming into the La Crosse area. We would interconnect with that. It could be at a number of points. We've identified options, again, depending on what route may be approved for that. What this does is really integrate that high voltage system to be able to improve regionally the whole transmission network. So while CapEx may come only into La Crosse in terms of Wisconsin, it goes off to the west into areas like Minnesota and the Dakotas. Because we are really a regional marketplace for electricity, it is that regional connection that helps improve all of southwestern Wisconsin's ability to access power.
And why is it necessary for the high voltage lines to go through Wisconsin? I know that's one of the opponents. They say, oh, in Wisconsin we don't need this, but why is it needed?
Well, this is an important project because if you were to take a look at the transmission system today, you would see this, again, this high efficiency 345 kV system is built up in parts to the east, up into the Madison area. It's building up into the La Crosse area, and we have a gap. We have a gap in southwestern Wisconsin. And through our transmission planning process, where we evaluate out 10, 15, 20 years into the future, what we look for is where do we have gaps in the system, where could we make improvements that will allow power to flow more efficiently and improve access for this area.
So today we're at the open house here in Cashton, and looking around, they have giant maps of the proposed lines. There's dozens of routes that could be potentially used for the Badger Coulee line. Can you talk about the factors that go into the decision on what line is chosen?
Well, there are a number of factors that go into evaluating each one of these many options. One of the largest factors is the input we get from the public, and that's why it's so important for us to be here today and get to know people in this community, because they know more about the community than we do. We're getting a lot of really valuable information. So in addition to the public comments, we also very carefully evaluate our environmental studies. Understanding the environmental features, what impacts a transmission line may have, identifying areas that would be preferred to avoid because of the potential for environmental impact. Along with that, engineering analysis, looking at the cost of the project, how alternatives affect that cost or how they may be routed and what constraints exist. There's no mathematical formula. There's no weighting of one thing versus another. It's really about a series of trade-offs, and that's why getting to know the values and ideas of a certain community are so important, because not everybody will view it the same way.
I attended the open house that you held in Onalaska this week as well, and I talked with a handful of people, and everyone had comments just across the board, those saying, well, you know, we need the extra power because more and more people are using more and more electricity. Some people concerned that, oh, I don't want this going through my backyard. I'm sure you hear that a lot. Some saying, I want this going along the interstate. How do you respond to people when they are concerned?
Well, I think the first thing is to acknowledge that concerns or, you know, wishes to not have it on their property are absolutely normal. That is a natural thing, and we don't take that for granted. We assume that people are going to have concerns, questions, or not want this on their property, and that's okay. That's the conversation we want to have, because what we ask then is, okay, why? So we can either respond to them or at least acknowledge them and use them in the routing and siting process.
Just down the street, there's a group having an alternative open house, and one of their messages is that they would prefer more localized energy production. How does American Transmission Company respond to something like that?
Well, that really is a matter of state policy or regional or national policy. So we are not the policy makers. I certainly have those conversations and talk with people about their opinions and respect the fact that they have an opinion that our energy policy should be different than it is today. And that's a very valid opinion. And I encourage folks who have that opinion to get involved with their legislators, with the Public Service Commission, to advocate for a policy change. That's not something that ATC as our entity can affect or make happen. We are a transmission-only utility, so we are not buying and selling power. We're not generating power. Our responsibility is to make sure that there is sufficient capacity and enough pathways for power to be able to move freely in the market to work, so that the local utilities have the best opportunity to make choices for their customers.
How much would the Badger Cooley transmission line cost, and then does that cost get passed on to consumers?
At this point, we have an estimate on the project, again, not knowing the route. It's a rough number of about $425 million. What that means for you and I is that when we receive our electric bill from our local energy provider, a portion of that bill allows for their access to the transmission system as it exists today. There is a cost to transmission that they are then passing on to you in your bill, which usually is somewhere around 7 to 10%. And that's not for new projects necessarily, that's just for the transmission system that exists today. For a new project like this $425 million project, we are estimating that to you or I, it would mean less than 1% on our bill. So if you get a $100 bill, it might have an increase of potentially up to a dollar, and that's really kind of a maximum. And looking at the way that's funded then, it's passed on individually through our electric bills.
Sarah Justice, is there anything else you'd like to talk about today regarding the Badger Cooley transmission line?
I would like to encourage anybody that has questions or comments, if they can come to an open house, we'd love to see you. If you can't, you can go to the project website, badgercooley.com. And on that website, not only is there a lot of information, there is the ability to get a map that is much more personalized to your property and give you a sense of where the routes are relative to you. And you can also leave us comments on that website as well.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guest today is Sarah Justice. She is the local relations manager with American Transmission Company. Sarah, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
So I'm leaving the American Transmission Company open house at the Cashton Community Hall, and I'm heading over to the other open house put on by Soul of the Kickapoo, or Save Our Unique Lands Kickapoo. This is a group that's opposed to the Badger Cooley line. It's over in Cashton Park. We'll go see what's going on. Under a shelter at Cashton Park, a panel session is underway, featuring Soul of the Kickapoo volunteers and a real estate appraiser. A few dozen people came to ask questions about how the Badger Cooley line could affect them and their property. Many attendees say ATC has not proven the need for high-powered transmission lines in the state, that they're delivering cheap power to Chicago or other eastern cities, while Wisconsin consumers foot the bill. The group ultimately wants to stop ATC from building the Badger Cooley lines. Tom Krieger of Anawa, Wisconsin, also sat on the panel. He's the father of Soul, Save Our Unique Lands, the parent organization of Soul of the Kickapoo. A few years ago, Krieger and others took on ATC when the company installed high-voltage lines on his property.
Well, our personal experience with the American Transmission Company is that my wife and I were impacted by a proposal called the Arrowhead Weston Transmission Line, which was first proposed by Wisconsin Public Service and Minnesota Power, but then once ATC came to be formed as part of the 2000 budget, then ATC actually took over that transmission line project, and that's where we actually started dealing with them at that stage of the game. On a personal level, our 40-acre parcel was crossed by their proposed transmission line. They did end up building a transmission line 100, and I think it was about 100 feet behind our home, and they did condemn our property because what they were willing to offer us on the front end, which is pretty much a joke. And so that's the personal level on it. And then on organization level of the whole thing, Soul actually was an intervener in the Arrowhead Weston transmission line project. We provided expert witnesses on property values, on endangered species, on the engineering need aspects of it, and various other things. So we fully participated in the project and educated local governments as well, similar to what you're seeing today here.
So did your wife and you remain on the property, or have you since moved?
No, actually the transmission line, after it was built, we did sell the property. It was a bit of a challenge, but finally we did find somebody who did not consider a transmission line to be a big issue from their point of view. And since that time, we've actually built a home that's 100% off-grid and powered by the sun, so we no longer deal with utilities at all.
Can you talk about why the two of you did decide to move from that land?
Well, I think the decision to move is, it's got a couple of different facets to it. One is that when we investigated the need for the Arrowhead Weston transmission line, We told ourselves that if we found that it was needed, we probably could only look at what is the best place to put this transmission line. But as we started looking into the utilities documentation on it, we found that the need aspect of it was largely a fabricated need, and that really alternatives to that transmission line had never really been investigated. And we were just taking this from the information that the utilities actually had provided. That's what we utilize for most things. So, you know, there was the fact that the line was really built on a pile of lies, and I just couldn't stand to look at that every day. Then the other aspect of it is that although the ATC and the other utilities would claim that there is no health concerns with it, there's plenty of other studies to say that there are health concerns with low frequency and the magnetic fields and stray voltages. And I really didn't want to subject my family to being a guinea pig for their health experiments. And so we decided it was time to move on, that although, you know, we had built that home from the ground up and figured we would die and be buried there and retire there, that the time had come that we needed to move for the sake of our family.
Can you talk about your involvement with the Soul, the Kickapoo, and maybe other organizations that are trying to stop ATC from building the line? And I guess in the second half of that, do you think it's possible to stop them?
Well, let's start with the second part first. The second part is it's an uphill battle from the standpoint that the cards are really stacked against the average person. First off, the entities that are involved have very deep pockets. They probably have more money designated for public outreach, which is, you know, advertising to sell their story, than any of these groups would ever be able to put together in the entire life of their organization. And that's just for the public outreach. The other thing that works against them is a public service commission, the state entity that's supposed to actually be the unbiased decision maker, has for a lot of years been loaded in favor of the utilities. For example, Lauren Arizar, who used to be ATC's attorney, was one of the Public Service Commission's commissioners up until recently when she took a job with, I think, the Department of the Energy. The newest commissioner is Phil Montgomery, who actually was a state representative who passed legislation. He was the driving force that allowed ATC to actually condemn local governments so they could Arrowhead Weston built. And so the favorable environment doesn't really exist. It's too much of a revolving door to go from the Public Service Commission right to work for the utilities. So it's in their best interest to approve projects for their own personal gain. And if you look back in the history of the Public Service Commission, it's been that way for a long time. It's not anything new. As far as Soul's involvement with various groups, Soul was extremely active during the period of time from 1999 through about 2006, where Arrowhead Weston was the focus of the project. In the case of the folks from this area, they've decided they want to be closer to the main group of Soul, and so they've basically have joined Soul. And so, you know, now they're part of our organization, and we'll do what we can to help them on the education part of it, to help point them in the direction of people that we think are good for, you know, expert witnesses and things like that. And so instead of having to reinvent the wheel from ground zero, we can give them a running start on a lot of things, and that's really where our focus is.
Within the Public Service Commission's process to approve major power projects, there is a public intervener process. Can you touch on that?
The public intervener part of it is that you can actually, as an individual or as an organization, actually apply for intervener funding, is what it's called. There is a certain pot of money that's available through the Public Service Commission that is there to help citizens participate in the process. So basically what you as an individual or Soul as an entity could do is say, what we'd like to do is provide this expert on engineering to provide a supplemental study onto the low voltage aspect of it. And the public service commissioners would then review your proposal, what you're requesting for funding, and say, yes, we think that would be something that would be good to supplement the record, and we're going to give you X amount of dollars to hire that expert and develop this. Or they would say, no, we think that's already been covered plenty of times, and we're not planning on doing anything that way. But there are some funds available to help citizens participate. The likelihood of receiving any of that funding would be much greater with an organization rather than you or I as an individual going and saying, hey, I want to hire Kirk Kielish as my expert witness on this because, you know, he's the guy I want to hire.
Is there anything else you want to talk about regarding ETC, Badger Cooley line?
Well, I guess, you know, to summarize a little bit, my biggest concerns with the state of Wisconsin and, well, we'll hold it to the state of Wisconsin, I guess, is the state used to plan for the future. They'd look at the needs of areas. They go to the utilities involved and say, give us a couple projects that can meet this need. Maybe it was generation. Maybe it was conservation. Maybe it was a transmission line. And the state would then look at the proposals that were put forward and say, we want you to run with this one and develop it, and we think this is going to be the best solution. Nowadays, the state is in it. Well, this is the state of the state. Now let's wait for somebody to propose something. And because ATC is a transmission line company, obviously every solution they put forward is a transmission line. It is the only thing that will meet our needs from their point of view. And really what we need to try and move more towards is the concept of distributed generation produced locally, which will actually keep energy dollars that we're currently sending to North Dakota and Canada in the state of Wisconsin. It would aid in the development of new jobs and new technologies, things like biomass plants, gas turbines, various things like that. And so we could actually be developing manufacturing, keeping the energy money here, producing jobs. And the proposals that ATC is putting forward are basically you're going to hire some out-of-state company to come in and build this transmission line. Once it's built, it's just a funnel to suck all the money out of the state of Wisconsin. The local people get to bear all the burden of the impact, but the local area really receives no direct benefit for their project. I'm not a big believer in big transmission. I'm a believer in produce locally, use locally, and transmission is something you utilize when you need to share resources between regions because some of your local generation is shut down or there's some catastrophic thing like a tornado goes through and wipes an area out or something like that.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Tom Krieger is one of the founders of SOL, Save Our Unique Lands. We talked about American Transmission Company's plan to build high-voltage power lines in Wisconsin. Head to our website at wpr.org/lacrosse to hear more from the SOL of the Kickapoos open house. There, you can hear real estate appraiser Kurt Kielish talk about how the proposed power lines could affect property values. We'll also have links to maps of ATC's proposed line routes. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum.